Jesus said, I am the true vine. It's the last of eight similar statements that he made throughout the gospel. I am the bread of life, chapter 6. Before Abraham was, I am, chapter 8. I am the light of the world, chapter 9. I am the door of the sheep, and I am the good shepherd, chapter 10. I am the resurrection and the life, chapter 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life, chapter 14. And finally, here at the beginning of chapter 15, I am the true vine. And each time Jesus said, I am, he was making an astonishing claim. Because as you may remember, I am was how God named himself to Moses on Mount Sinai in the famous incident of the burning bush. God wanted to send Moses into Egypt to set his people free. And Moses said, yes, but who shall I say is sending me? And God replied, I am who I am is sending you. So it was God's name for himself, I am. And it's amazing that Jesus used that name over and over again in his gospel. Do you see what he was saying to people and what he's saying to us? I am God in person. I am God come to you in the flesh. He was describing who he was, and he was also in many different ways describing why he had come. It's true of all his I am sayings, and it's true of this one that we're looking at today. Jesus is God's one true vine, bringing life to the world. Now, Jesus' first followers would have been very familiar with the idea of a vine. First of all, they could see them around on the hills in Galilee. And secondly, because when God chose his people in the Old Testament, he called them his vine. Because under Moses, he led them out of Egypt as he had promised to do, and through the desert for 40 years, and then he planted them in the promised land, just as he had promised. And so he said to his people, you are my vine. I'm planting you in this wonderful land that I've promised to you. Now be fruitful. Be faithful to me and be fruitful to my purposes. But Israel, sadly, the Old Testament Israel, totally failed to be fruitful or faithful for God. I'm not going to go through the long, sad story. But they did not fulfill God's purposes for them. And so they ceased to be his true vine. Instead, many years later, God sent Jesus into the world to be his true vine. Jesus, who would always be faithful to him. Jesus, who would be so very, very fruitful to his heavenly Father. And all of that we learn from the Old Testament. But why did Jesus choose this particular picture of a vine? It's because it's so very appropriate to who he was and what he came to do. If you can picture a vine, it has one main stem, just one main stem, and all the life and all the fruitfulness comes through that stem. All the nutrients and all the water from the soil comes through the stem. And that is why Jesus says he is the true vine himself. But this wonderful life, God's eternal life, which came into the world through Jesus, this eternal life didn't just stay in the main stem of the vine, it flowed out into the branches. Vines have many branches that flow out, usually they're along supports. So you have the vine, like Jesus, you have the branches, like his followers. And Jesus, as you know, at this time in his gospel, was talking to this little group of followers. They were in an upper room in Jerusalem. They had just shared in the Lord's Supper, which we're going to share in later on. And now Jesus was teaching them all that he wanted them to know, because the time was short. The time was very short. Later that evening, Jesus was arrested on trumped-up charges, and you know what followed on from that. So Jesus urgently wanted to remind them who he is and who they were supposed to be. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He had spoken to them and called them to follow him. And through his word, they had begun a new life. "You are already made clean because of the word I have spoken to you," he said. In other words, you started a new life, a brand new life, by following me. And I want you to continue now without me. So he gave them this vivid picture of a vine and its branches to show them who they were and what he wanted them to be and to do. Jesus' followers are meant to be like fruitful branches. Now we all know what the branches of a vine are supposed to do. They're supposed to produce grapes, aren't they? Yesterday at Toft, it was our annual Christmas fair, and we always have a produce stall on in the Christmas fair, and there are jars full of chutney and jars full of marmalade and jars full of jam. But this year there was an addition. There were little plastic bags full of grapes, and I happen to know that a member of Toft Church has a vine, and it must have been a good year for Colin's vine, because there were dozens of these little packets of grapes on the produce stall. And it was very helpful to me for this sermon to have that picture. So we understand what the vine represented. It represented Jesus himself, the source of all life. And the branches represent his followers. Yes, we know that. But what did the grapes represent? The word grapes doesn't come into the passage, but that's the fruit that a vine produces, isn't it? So Jesus wanted his followers to be fruitful. So think about this. There is no other way to get grapes except through a vine. I mean, I know you can go to Aldi and get grapes, or you can come to Toft Christmas Fair and get grapes there. But grapes are made through a vine. There's no other way. You can't make them in a factory. You can't make them in any other plant. It has to be the vine that produces grapes. And what can only be produced by Jesus through his followers? Well, it must be more followers, mustn't it? That's what Jesus was talking about. All this life flowing from him into his followers were not just for them. You know, the purpose of the branches of a vine is not just to grow leaves and look pretty. It's to produce grapes. And the whole purpose of Jesus' followers is to produce more followers of Jesus. That's the fruit. That's mainly what Jesus was talking about. He makes more followers through the followers he's already got. That's why we're here. That's his purpose for us. Now, sometimes bearing fruit, being fruitful for Jesus, is a painful experience. Some of us go through very difficult trials in our lives. Jesus knew that. And so he explained that this is God being the gardener, his heavenly Father pruning the vine and the branches. Obviously, Jesus himself was about to go through the ultimate experience of suffering the very next day. So he wasn't asking his followers to go through anything that he wasn't going to face himself. He was going ahead of them, and this would help them to understand why God has to prune the vine, why God has to allow his people to go through suffering. And if you've got a garden, you'll be familiar with the process of pruning. My apple trees got a good pruning the other day. And it's not just snipping little twigs off. Sometimes it's sawing whole branches off. But the whole purpose of the pruning is to make the tree more fruitful. And that's what Jesus is saying. God has to prune his vine. He has to prune the branches so that they will become more fruitful. That's the purpose of it. We go through this suffering because God wants to make us more fruitful. And there is no other way of doing that. Suffering can make us more like Jesus, draw us closer to him, and through us to draw others to him also. So any difficulties we face, be encouraged. It will make you more fruitful. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, Jesus' followers can't draw others to him without his help. In fact, as he said, without him we can't do anything like that at all. You may know the name Billy Graham. Billy Graham, for many years, preached the gospel all over the world. He literally preached the gospel to millions, and thousands upon thousands of people came forward and gave their lives to Christ through the ministry of Billy Graham. A reporter once asked him at a press conference, Dr. Graham, how many people have you converted during your ministry? And guess what Billy Graham said? He said, sir, none. I haven't converted any. It's all the work of the Lord Jesus. So we need to remember that we can't do this without Jesus. We can't do this without staying close to him. He's given us precious ways to stay close to him. We looked already at what he said about his word. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. After all, when we came to faith, when we turned to Christ, first of all, it was through his word, wasn't it? Someone opened up the scriptures for us. And it's through his word that we stay close to him. We hear his voice day by day as we read our Bibles. I hope we do. And also, of course, as we hear God's word here in church. And it's through his word that we will be faithful to him. His word is constantly encouraging us to be more fruitful. Secondly, God has given us the wonderful gift of prayer. You may have noticed that mentioned twice in our reading. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now that doesn't mean to say I can ask for the latest Tesla, because it doesn't mention Tesla in the Bible, funnily enough. But it does tell me in the Bible what God will certainly do. He will certainly make me fruitful as I stay close to him and as I ask him to do that. Through prayer, we ask him to draw others to himself. I'm sure there are people you pray for regularly. And Jesus says, your prayers will make a difference if you're praying that God will draw them to me. And thirdly, Jesus doesn't expect us to do any of this on our own. You see, Jesus didn't say, I am the vine, you are the branch, pointing at Peter or one of the others. No, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Branches belong together. If one branch gets cut off, it's bad news, as we're about to hear. We belong together as followers of Jesus. And being part of a church which is fruitful will make us more fruitful too. Now, just a word about your current situation in the church. Obviously, your vicar's retired, Simon is retired, and eventually a new vicar will come, hopefully sooner rather than later. We're certainly praying for you. But in the meantime, it's slightly tempting to just ease off on our church attendance, isn't it? I'm sure this doesn't apply to any of you, after all, you're here today. But if you know someone who's not here today, do encourage them not to sort of slacken off. Because you need to be here. You need to remain fruitful. And a key way of doing that is to stay close to other branches of the vine. I'm sure this church is fruitful. I'm sure you're praying for this work all over the world, which is great. But God forbid that we take the glory for it. Sometimes we're a little proud of our church, aren't we? Well, we should be very grateful for it. We should love it, but we shouldn't be proud of it. Why? Because Jesus said this, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus didn't even take the glory himself, even though he was going to die the following day to make it all possible. No, Jesus said, it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. All the glory to God. Now, I could leave it there, but Jesus didn't. Jesus gave an urgent warning in the midst of all this. If anyone refuses, they will eventually be rejected. What will happen if we refuse to live as branches of the vine? What will happen if we cut ourselves off from fruit bearing? Well, verse 6 tells us, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. It's a very uncomfortable and vivid warning, isn't it? Most of us here would claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. And yet we're painfully aware that we're not as fruitful as we should be. I've been a Christian for 53 years. And yet I often look back and think, have I really been as fruitful as I might have been? It is a vital question. There's a reason why Jesus says it, but he didn't say it in order to make us depressed. He said it to urge us on, to challenge us, to keep us fruitful in his service. If that question touches our hearts, then it's a good sign. It shows that we're still part of the vine. It shows us that we know where we belong and we know that the Lord wants us to be fruitful. Those dead branches Jesus talks about are those who don't really care about it, who don't really want to be part of Jesus' mission. Perhaps they never were really a part of it anyway. And they are in terrible danger, and we should pray for them, and we should also pray for ourselves. Pray that we keep on asking the Lord to make us fruitful together. And anyway, for all our past failures, and we all have past failures, Jesus has paid the price. In his great love, Jesus died instead of his followers. You may have heard these famous words last weekend on Remembrance Sunday. Greater love has no one than this, and he lay down his life for his friends. Now, last Sunday we were thinking about those brave service people who laid down their lives in war. But of course, Jesus was actually referring to himself and his followers. He called them his friends, and he died for their sin. Perhaps I should have said he calls us his friends, and he died for our sin. Remember, he was saying this to those first followers on the evening before he was crucified. They probably couldn't take it in at the time, but looking back, how encouraging to know that Jesus did all that for you and for me. It's the heartbeat of our Christian faith, isn't it? The love that God had for us that took Jesus to the cross, and he loved us long before we even began to love him in return. And now we stay close to him by doing what he wants us to do. Just like Jesus stayed close to his Father and showed his love for his Father by obedience, by doing what his Father had sent him to do. And so together we can remain in his love and obedience. This is the last short point. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love one another." It's the vine that produces the branches, not the other way around. And it's Jesus who chooses his followers, not the other way around. And that should give us security to serve him. He has chosen us. He has appointed us to be fruitful. How can we fail if Jesus has chosen us? The passage ends with Jesus' great commandment, love one another. It's interesting, isn't it? This is how he ends. We've been thinking about the others were to reach out to, but one of the ways in which we reach out to them, one of the ways we show them what Jesus is like, is by loving one another. How else will they see that? If they see in us that sacrificial love which flows from Jesus and his sacrifice, that in itself will draw us to him. I end on a personal note, but that was true for me all those years ago, coming up to 54 years now. But when I saw the love and the patience that Christians had, I thought, there's something real in this. And eventually, that led me to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the vine and we are the branches. Thank you for your life flowing through us into the world. Please will you draw many to yourself. Please will you make us fruitful, and all to your glory, and in Jesus' name. Amen.